Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back, y'all, to another episode of Crypto Bros. I'm your host, Jason Madison. As always, joined by my co-host, Chris Epps. Waiting on Mike right now. But we got a special guest in here, y'all. Crypto Bay J has joined us on the pod. What up?
Woo! I'm so happy to be here. I'm Crypto Bay J. I am a crypto educator and NFT evangelista, and I'm very excited to talk to you guys today.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have to use those NFT powers against Mike when he comes in.
Okay, I'm down. I'm ready.
Yeah, Mike. He buys NFTs, but he fudges them to the ground.
Exactly. Like
he's bought NFTs.
Yeah, he's a hater.
He's one of those believers, non-believers.
Yeah.
Which I am as well. But let's address the elephant in the room, y'all. Are we back in a bull market? No, I'm just kidding. No, the elephant in the room. We got my man SBF, Sam Bankman-Fried, the liquidator extraordinaire. Is he buying BlockFi for $25 million? Basically, pennies on the dollar. It's like giving a bum dollar outside of 7-Eleven. You know, he's bailing out the whole crypto industry. What do you guys think is of the new titan of the crypto space?
He's in the runnings for Senate or whatever he's trying to do next, you know, next 4 years. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Feels like he's, you know, making sure he's coddling up to everyone in Washington and making the same moves. Shit, he's moving just like them in preparation and funding them.
Right. So. Funding the Democrats, moving with them, mm-hmm. you know,
buying his own partners right. out, you know, at negative 85%.
Right.
It's pretty interesting. I don't know.
Yeah. He's,
I don't know. I want to get sponsored by FTX. So I'm not going to fund too hard.
Right. Now, I mean, he's definitely got us on the spectrum. And he seems to be doing things with the altruistic, you know, thought process or feeling or emotion behind it. You know, he wants to give away a lot of his wealth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of the moves he's seeming to make or making are kind of helping sustain the crypto industry at large right now as everybody realizes how levered and leveraged the whole community was.
Over leveraged.
Especially the guys up top. They were taking your money that you were leveraging and they were leveraging it even harder. So,
And it wasn't your money. It was your leveraged.
Yeah.
It was your leverage.
Yeah, exactly. They were taking your leverage and over leveraging that. And Sam was just liquidating everybody. Whenever the market swung, whichever direction, FTX just collected all the coins. And that's what makes, you know, him who he is. He decided to play the house. And it feels like the other guys should have, right? Because they were still getting a steal by being the lending service and having people stake and yield. Like they were making money hand over fist, but they were
They got greedy.
They got greedy. Mm-hmm. They got super greedy. Yeah. They were really believing the BS of the super cycle. And drinking their own Kool-Aid. And Sam was like, aren't we here to do math?
Yeah.
Like, that's what he's basically looking like. I thought we were just here doing math, guys. Y'all was doing something else.
But, you know, when you are the house, you know, you can pull the trigger at any point in time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, like, they kind of, like, he kind of made DeFi work. Because he made all the, like, that's one thing like, when you said he liquidated everyone every time.
Yeah.
Every time a new DeFi thing came out in DeFi summer, it was like Alameda, like putting in funds into all these things that are now dead or deflated. Mm-hmm. And they would make the yield farms, you know, liquid and then sell the coins while we were all trying to hold them to infinity.
Right.
So he would arb everything, everyone, every side of the market.
Yeah, every side of the, he was getting the, you know,
so smart.
The
smart
dealers, thing. The gamblers. The people, the alcoholics, everybody who came in a casino, he was like, yeah, just put it in the bag.
What does it take to be able to be in that position, to be able to get money from all sides of the coin?
You gotta be like, he like Marty Bird, if y'all watch Ozark.
Yeah, but it's also, yeah, where he came from too. Like, his family came from money. He was like, that's what he was doing. He's been doing this forever. And so, right. From what, poker, right? Or like, he was playing poker online in college or some shit while he was learning about investment banking.
Right.
I don't remember. I listened to the, like, his little mini biography on a podcast once.
Yeah.
And he's sweating right now. He's playing, like, he's not talking to anyone. He doesn't talk. Oh yeah, he's quietest in the room. That's what I was gonna say earlier.
Right.
That's the sign. He's the quietest in the bull and in the bear. He doesn't say shit.
Right. Either way.
Sign too. He only pops out.
He just makes moves. He doesn't have to say anything.
Yeah, yeah. That's those are his messages. You see on TV.
Right. I thought it was just an interesting headline in that, you know, he's becoming more of a name in the space in terms of, like, the media is, like, starting to push his name. You know, we've known about him for a while now, but I starting to, you know, see that shift. Like you said, Chris, there's definitely probably some politics in there that he's trying to be, you know, more known in that regard. So everything's going to be FTX soon. They're going to own all the sports leagues. They're going to own all of everything. They're going to have their patch, their logo everywhere, you know. It'll be interesting to see how his, you know, he's basically, in a way, the new Bezos, the new Elon, how that new person, the new Steve Jobs, how that person who has all the money and is garnering attention for having all the money, how does that person relate to the world and, you know, mold it in their view when they get on that seat of power. Interesting stuff going on, guys. So with that, we got the stock market is still down, still tanking. Mm-hmm. Crypto is still down. We got Ethereum is 1,100. Bitcoin is flirting with 20. But are people still buying NFTs? Are NFTs dead?
NFTs are not dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. But people are still buying them. They're getting really great deals. I don't think there's a lot of excitement, you know, right now. I feel like a lot of people are tucking their tails and you know, like my NFT group chat ain't popping.
It's quiet. It's quiet in the group chat. Yeah.
It's very quiet in the group chat. It's just crickets in the group chat now that I think about it. But
I see some stills though. See, this is the thing. So I don't know if you look at OpenSea a lot and you look at, like, the rankings and things like that.
Mm-hmm,
but I check that every day, pretty much like how I used to check Nike Talk or Nah Right. Like, it's just like, okay, what's going on? What's the numbers? Who's doing what? And, you know, like, I'm kind of interested in a few projects. I like the CloneX. I like the Invisible Friends, Cool Cats. You know, like, those are the ones I look at every day, you know, and obviously, like, the big ones, Apes and all, and the Punks and all that. But it's interesting to see how that's moving right now, because they're kind of that $300,000, $600,000 punk is not worth what, you know what I'm saying, it was a couple months ago. And so I'm like, is now a time to buy these certain, whatever project. One you like? Yeah, whatever project you like. Are we still waiting on a bottom? Because I'm looking at a Cool Cat for 4 ETH right now, or 4.3 ETH. And I'm like,
$4,000.
I'm like $4,300 for a Cool Cat.
It could go to $2,000.
Right.
it's basically, you know, just gotta kind of just do it right now.
I don't know.
Like, right,
I don't
now
know.
It feels like all of the things that are blue chips, quote unquote, or things that are blue chips are pretty fine. Art Blocks is having a volume pump. I have to listen to this Looks Rare podcast later.
Yeah.
I saw them talking about it, and me and my friends were noticing it. And the two or three guys in my NFT chat out of the 25 are still talking about Art Blocks.
Yeah.
And our bots are watching them pick them up.
Yeah.
So there's a few things going. Like, Punk's just got acquired by, you know, BAYC. So they have some, like, a good reason to buy them, even though they're kind of like the old man of NFTs now, or the
grandpas of NFTs.
Yeah, which kind of sucks because they are the OG or one of the OGs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think right now buying things like that that are making you question should I be buying this is probably a good time to buy it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually how I feel. Like, that's every time I question it and I have the money and I don't do it, it always goes up.
I feel you on going to 2000 because that's the target.
But it's gonna do it maybe, but usually it'll be like a, you know,
because thing. You because because I feel like ETH is gonna continue to drop, like ETH and Bitcoin haven't. I just feel like they haven't bottomed. I feel like there has to be one other little bottom, like, you know, for a week or two, and then whatever. Who knows? I don't know.
How do you deal with
everybody says V-shaped curve too? Like,
Jay, how do you deal with people with their price questions? Do you give price stuff? Are you like, I'm not gonna?
Jason or Crypto Bay J?
That's right. It was you.
As far as like when they should buy, you know, it's a really touchy subject. The thing is, it's a touchy subject because everyone has like a different investment strategy, like what makes them feel comfortable. Some people, I like to go with my gut, you know, other people like to look at analytics, right? Some people like to use a combination of both. I just like what you were saying, like basically like you can get greedy trying to guess the bottom, right? So if you can be more analytical and say, listen, like I'm getting a great fucking deal. It's 50% off or it's 60% off. Like you have to choose to be okay with that.
Right.
Even if it goes down further. Right. That to be disciplined. Like if it goes between, you know, anything less over 75% or 75% off, you know, like I'm going to buy and then I can't be sad. You got to let it go.
Yeah. You got to let it go after the purchase for sure. Yeah. I never trip. Like whenever I buy a coin or like, you know, I bought what, 3 NFTs. I minted 3 NFTs and that weren't mine. And then like I sold one, but whatever it is, when it comes to crypto, like I never really think twice. If I decide to buy the thing and I, you know, after I buy it, I never feel buyer's remorse. I'm just like, I got it, whatever, like whatever happens, like, you know, and especially if it's something I fuck with, like if like Bitcoin or Ethereum or anything like that, it's like, I'll watch this shit go to zero. Like I'll hold on to that, you know,
because you're fucking betting fucking parlays on your fucking coins. So you're fine with buying tokens because you're doing something else with it.
It's a useful service. That's what I'm saying. Like people say Bitcoin doesn't have any use. So like a lot of
Bovada.com, like, hit us up for a sponsorship, or stake.com. He's gambling.
Of gambling websites ask you to swap your money out in Bitcoin.
Sports?
Yeah, sports gambling.
She got excited too.
That makes Bitcoin useful right there in and of itself. It's internet money. It's the best internet money. So it's like, if you think about it in terms of that, like it's an easy win to me. Like I'm not Michael Saylor, which people are like trying to clown him now.
He bought some more, bro.
At the wrong time.
He's still liquid. He still has money. You can't say
no. The fact that he still has like 10 million still to buy more
worth of Bitcoin, just like yesterday, right?
Exactly. No, the fact that he has people who are enabling that behavior, like kudos to him. You know, like
all you want. I can't buy 10 million worth of Bitcoin right now.
Exactly. Exactly. That'd be nice. No, he really put his nuts on the table with his Bitcoin maximalism. For sure.
Are you guys not fans of Bitcoin here?
I love Bitcoin.
Okay. No, we're just talking about how, I mean, you know, it's a lot of people are giving him shit. Like I still see it constantly, people making fun of people like Michael Saylor or Raw Paul. I feel like those guys are not you don't have any basis to flood them or make fun of them or call them out for any trades or stuff they said. Like, you know, the Doquan stuff, that's a whole different story of like, all right, you can, he's open to whatever shots you got. Yeah. But yeah. I feel like Michael Saylor is, you know, he's still all of the, most of the guys I feel like we talk about, like Ron Paul or Michael, like we up or give kudos to, are probably going to be laughing to the bank still in the next 5 to 10 years.
Right.
They time. Will, but they could have been laughing at the bank 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Right. That's what people, that's what people clown Michael Saylor for. They say he's the worst trader because he bought at the top. Like, he's one of the worst traders of all time.
Double down all the way down.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel people for, you know, it's like, of course, you can clown anybody in the spotlight, you know, but it's still that he doubled down on something that he really believes in. So it doesn't matter. Like, you guys can make the jokes now, but when he wins the Super Bowl, it's like, then you got to shut the fuck up. Like, it's like, he's like the Draymond Green of crypto. It's like,
that's
annoying.
Funny.
It's annoying, but he's gonna end up winning anyway. So just make fun of him while you can, I guess, you know.
I see. Did you guys cover like the whole documentary about Basie?
We talked about it slightly.
Yeah,
we talked about it slightly.
No, but we didn't go in on it because I think I was the only one who watched it.
I
have to watch it.
No, I watched it. That's what I'm saying.
Because I feel like, isn't it the same video that's
You didn't watch it, and then Mike hadn't heard about it or something. So we tried to talk about it one time, but I was the only person who seen it. I thought it was a dope.
I couldn't watch the whole thing.
You were saying you saw the whole thing.
Why couldn't you watch it?
When I opened the beginning, I was like, this is the beginning of the same video Ryder put out. Isn't it the same video? Or is it not full?
Ryder seems to be very much a part of it, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's the same. It's an hour documentary about it.
Yeah.
So is the nigga alive or what?
Who? Ryder Rips? Is he alive?
Nah, are we talking about the crypto nigga documentary that stole the bread?
No, we're talking about
basically boarding yacht club being a new Nazi.
Oh, world. the Nazi documentary. No, I haven't seen that one.
You haven't seen it? Oh, okay.
No, but I've seen so many videos from Ryder over the last 6 months, and I know Pauly. Like, I know Pauly. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
it's interesting to watch this shit go down from a distance, and then he comes into like a Telegram and just like asking my friends, asking us for information and shit.
I got to explain to people like who these characters are because they don't know. I barely know, but I know from just like, again, kind of
loosely. Jay can explain to him.
Loosely surveying the NFT space. Yeah, Ryder Rips and their fake, the guy and their fake Bored Ape shit and all that.
Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodle's just like, whatever.
Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for your eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
Well, the reason why, you know, when you mentioned like blue chip projects and you put Basie out there, I mean, you Basie has been a blue chip project, and you talked about like CryptoPunks being bought out by Basie or Yuga Labs. But to me, I don't know if that's a good, I'm interested to see if Black people care, if there's enough Black people in this space to really decrease the value of Basie, because in the documentary, it's pretty, I mean, you don't really have to even look at the documentary. I realized I never took the time to look through their collection, but it's very apparent that the collection is like racist, right? It has a lot of racist tropes. Is even like the hat, they just spell it out for you. Like the hats that some of the apes are wearing are from like colonizer hats that, the safari
looking shit. I noticed that too.
Yes. They're like Nazi hats, Prussia hats, you know, and go on and so forth. So it's like once they just put everything together, the history, the photos of the slave masters wearing those, the outfits, the hats, all that, it's just obviously very racist. And and it seems like, they're trying to say like it's some, you know, these are a group of nerdy white guys who are losers, but like want like to be like racist. Exactly. They're trolling everyone and like making this like the biggest project ever while making this an undercover like racist Black joke. You know what I mean? And it's
and
like
making sure Black basketball players are all repping them.
Are repping it, exactly.
I've been saying this since the podcast started. Like it looks like it all was obvious before, like those guys on Twitter were like making their tirade. I always felt weird about it. Like when it was like a year ago, it was out a year ago, I was like, whatever, these things look fucking sus. I don't like the way they look, because of clicking through just like the floor, like when they were first out, it was like, there's a lot of weird Russian helmets and I could see it.
Yes. So you saw, to me, it was just like, I missed the opportunity. So I never took the time. It's like, fuck that project. You know, I'm not in on it. So I'm not really paying attention. But yeah, I just think it's something to be said. And if I have a platform to talk about it, like, I'm not, you know, like, I'm not going to like, you know, pump them up. And so many people are invested in it. You know, Snoop just came out with a music video.
Him and with Eminem,
with
sent that to us.
Exactly. So it's like, you know, now they own the IP, so they're trying to blow up their ape and all of that kind of stuff. But
someone just started another one too.
Well,
who was it?
A lot of them get paid.
Dame?
They, Oh, Dame. Yeah. Well, Dame went on, he was being interviewed and he was
talked about it.
He talked about it. Like, it just seemed, he said the same thing. He didn't even know anything about
some
it.
Some other
like,
artist,
just the way
just
I saw
licensed
it.
Licensed theirs. I just saw it like 2 days ago and I was like, oh,
got
boy.
It.
Yeah. No.
So,
no, I was just going to go ahead.
Go ahead, Jason.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, a lot of people have been like using the IP for their own shit, like already. Mm-hmm. Like when I was in Vegas, this guy who owned a big ass shoe store out there, I forgot what it was called, that he had a big ass, like basically statue of his ape, like in the middle of his big ass two story, you know, consignment shoe store in the middle of Caesar's Palace. So, you know.
Yeah. Is Macy too big to fail? You know what I mean? In a like NFT sense, like there's right. too many popular people that have adopted it that like we,
I mean,
you know.
Yeah. Once you get Steph Curry, you know, there are a few people in like kind of popular society, especially Black society, who kind of have that, like, not only are they not gonna fuck up, but like people are gonna fuck with whatever they do, you know? At this mm-hmm. point, you know, it's like Kendrick Lamar, Steph Curry, you know, there's a few guys that are like, you know, kind of in that little baby that are in that, like, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't see if Snoop actually puts this as his PFP. I feel like he doesn't. That's the only NFT he doesn't really actually rep.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the thing is they also go into the documentary and talk about how, like, a lot of influencers, like MoonPay was paying for them and gifting them to the influencers.
Right.
And so, like, you know, so, you know, misrepresenting that they really actually fuck with the project and, right. You know, it's just more like an endorsement deal, you know, payday for a lot of people.
A lot of people. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. like when Antonio Brown had his 100K Discords. I don't know if you remember that video, but it was just kind of like, you know, everything we're talking about, people being paid to promote things, especially in the crypto space. Like, we all know it's a part of the space. But he did it so poorly that it like takes the veil away.
Oh,
it just makes it look like
football player.
He did like an ad. He's like, yo, like, it was like in the middle of like a quick run by interview, and he's just like, go buy blah, blah, blah coin. There's 100K in the Discord, 100K to Discord. 100K. And if you know what that means that like that's like 95,000 bots, probably.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, probably 98,000 bots.
Right.
That's funny.
Yeah. So people are going to push things. You know, that's a part of the space. If I had a project, I would want some famous people pushing my shit. You mm-hmm. know, like, I feel like that's what did World of Women blew up, you know, when they started getting their celebrity, you know, representation, a lot of shit. That's a big part of the space.
That's how Clubhouse blew up.
Right.
Because the culture embraced it.
The culture.
Black people.
And, right. Mm-hmm. Niggas got on there and started talking shit.
And then they started giving away too much sauce on there, and people have started wondering why their ideas were getting created before them and people getting hemmed up or blah, blah, blah. That was interesting because there's definitely people listening in on some of those rooms
for
information.
Lots of people listening in.
Most mm-hmm. definitely. And so, Discord is like kind of that version, right? I guess for crypto because. Mm-hmm. Crypto people are half incel, so they don't want to talk unless they're on Twitter spaces. That's the whole other thing. It's like every Discord I've been in, like, everybody's like, oh, are you gonna do a Twitter spaces? Like,
yeah.
Like, why is the Twitter spaces so it? Like, your project isn't popping unless niggas are in Twitter spaces.
It's so many Twitter spaces going on, and I don't know. I don't know what is the obsession about Twitter spaces, because it's like they copied it off of Clubhouse. And then somebody invited me to a Spotify. I don't know what it's called, but it's like a Spotify space.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. They got one. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just like, y'all, I can't keep up with all these. You know, it's too much. It's too much. We got to pick one, you know.
Right, right. We at that stage. It's three of the same. Reels, TikTok, everybody doing the same shit. We got to pick one app for this. Luckily, Twitter has never went away. It's had staying power through all the different designs and everything. Like, and yeah, I was following a lot of people in the NFT space on Twitter. I had to start unfollowing a lot of them. They have a lot of, kind of racist opinions. That I see from time to time. So it's interesting when you start following more people and seeing different types of memes and shit like that.
I see. You see who they really are. Yeah, it's so interesting. I'm not really, what do I want to say? Going to conferences. I've been going to a lot of conferences. Mm-hmm. And so you get to interact with the community in a different way.
Right.
You get to actually see all these people, right? But I have found you see that, you know, you see that, you see the type of people that you wouldn't necessarily hang with, but you have this, you know, like weird obsession
in common with them. Yeah. You're like,
but
damn.
Like nothing else.
Yeah,
but
like, yeah. Nothing you're else. Like nothing else. Just this one thing. We both like this one thing. The rest is not matching.
Yes, I cannot condone anything else. So that's really interesting.
Yeah.
But even as I've gone to different conferences, I went to Bitcoin Miami. I went to Consensus. I went to NFT, NYC NFT. Mm-hmm. I feel like, I went to VCon. What do I want to say about that? I've actually, it's been really great to find people of color in all of these spaces. And there's more of us. There's a lot of us. And we are building, creating really cool things, creating really cool, like developing things, NFT projects, DAOs. So we out here. So, you know, we're infiltrating the space. And so that's just like good to see. And it's in it, and it feels comforting sometimes when you can be in those uncomfortable spaces with people who don't really fuck with you, you know. That made me think of I met a Ethereum maxi,
yeah,
and I was like, we were at a lunch or something. I was just like, I haven't met anyone like you before.
Like
nice to meet you. And he was so like rude. He was like really rude, and I was just like, oh shit, like, okay. I thought, you know, so because sometimes you get caught up in the vibes of this community and all that, and I was like, oh yeah, let me like get back to the real world.
Yeah, what I realized is that most of the people in the space don't really have social skills like that, like by and large, you know, because it's mostly nerdy people who figured out how to sign up for a MetaMask wallet. Like that takes a certain amount of, you know.
A lot of these people have just been on 4chan.
Yeah.
Like that's half of the stuff that you're seeing on Twitter are these kids who are on 4chan or whatever.
Anybody willing to type in a seed phrase is a different, has a different type of brain.
Okay. All right, relax.
I'm just saying.
I think so. You can't be cutting the actual like security blockchains.
That's not where most people are. It's just a high, I'm just being honest,
of school shooter type vibes. It's a high concentration of that in general. And you know when you were saying that about the conferences, I noticed recently, like the last few months, that a lot of people that I'm following are Black, and I couldn't tell until like maybe it's in a group chat or talking in the Twitter group chats, which is like a new thing. And I feel like it's a lot of people might be hiding themselves or hiding their, you know, their identity, which is fine. But also feel like it kind of sucks if everyone's trying to be, you know, homogenous, and then a lot of our projects are not, a lot of us aren't represented in our projects, which makes it harder. You know, people aren't going to put their PFP as a Black thing, a Black character or avatar, because they can't even, it's hard for them to get them first off. Or they don't have the provenance, they don't want to be looked a certain way because all of the Black NFTs aren't really doing the same numbers.
Yeah, they're not. You know,
other PFPs. So it's interesting. I just had that weird little thought. There's a project I just learned about, ACOTARS. I was talking about it in the last episode.
Yay!
Dude, that shit is super cool. I'm definitely buying that when I get some more
liquidity. Welcome, welcome. That was my first NFT, Micah really? Johnson's Aku Chapter 2. Yeah. Yes. That's so that was cool. Last April. So I really, you know, his mission is amazing. He has a great team of people. He did a lot of stuff with Nifty Gateway, but now he's like branched out and he's doing really great things. He's been at like every conference. But yeah, welcome.
Yeah, I didn't know. So I've been watching, waiting. And
y'all got the same PFP?
No. I just learned about it, and I'm thinking about. No, I mean, next time okay. I'm solvent. I'm
solvent.
I'm
yeah, yeah. yeah. Got to get some of that liquidity that
liquidity
they,
back. Liquidity is king.
I'm about to go buy it. Right. About liquidity to be in the real king. World, getting some.
Liquidity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Aquitar. Let me tell you, if you're just finding out about that project. So first of all, that project is listed on my NFT cheat sheet. And
where can you find that?
You can find it the link in my bio. But he came out with a series of 10 NFTs on Nifty Gateway that were animated vignettes, right? Of the astronaut boy or astronaut teenager. And basically the whole story behind astronaut is just that, you know, he had a cousin that asked him if Black boys could be astronauts. And so he decided he was going to make a statement with this character. And so he's won a lot of different awards as like, you know, NFT of the year. And his NFT is going to be adapted into a film and all these amazing things. That's so dope. You can still go on Nifty Gateway probably, and maybe not just in Nifty Gateway, you might be able to find it on OpenSea as well, and find some of those chapters for a good price, probably one of the later chapters. And how he did that, how he did the minting was he just opened it up for 5 minutes. So in that 5 minute time span, he minted as many people that were able to like click buy on the Nifty Gateway website. So some of them are like the supply is 700. Some of them are like the supply is 1800. Mm-hmm. And so you can still, they were all on sale for $9 USD. I mean, because Nifty Gateway allows you to pay USD or crypto. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it was $4.99. Oh, nice. And they have all grown a lot. The chapter 2 one that I originally bought, I think it was, before the crash, it was going for about $10,000.
Oh, nice.
Which, you know, it wasn't bad. Yeah. But anyway, if you had a chapter, if you had a chapter, 3 of the chapters, you got another, I think it was like chapter 7 or 8 airdrop to you. And that was the only way that you could get that. And then also after chapter 10, if you own one of the chapters, you got a airdropped pass to buy Aquitar. Mm-hmm. And I got an airdrop pass to buy Aquitar, which I don't know. Do people, maybe I shouldn't talk about numbers?
No, you can. I don't know. Yeah. We talk about numbers all the time in here.
Yep.
Okay. Well, so basically the group chat was like, you know, they don't want to miss this airdrop. So one person sold it for 0.75 E. The next person sold it for 1.5 E. That because the pass was like, okay, you get Aquitar. You don't know if you're going to get the Puma one, the different collaborations that he partnered with. And I ended up selling it for 3 E.
Oh, that's killer.
So that was a win. That was a huge win for me. But I obviously didn't get Aquitar, but it was great timing because what ended up happening was, I forget this guy's name, but he's a well-known hacker. Apparently he told the Aquitar team, he told Micah's team that there was something wrong with the smart contract. And basically his tech people didn't listen to this hacker, And then the hacker basically decided to exploit the smart contract on the day of the drop. So, you know, basically, if you didn't sell your pass, whoever had the pass was able to then, you know, mint Akutar. And basically, somehow the funds were locked into the smart contract. So no one was, people bought their Akutars, but they weren't actually showing up in their wallets. And they were trying to, you know, troubleshoot that until they had to, like, okay, actually reach out to the hacker and say, I'm sorry, there is something wrong with our smart contract. We should listen to you. And basically, damn. By the time, so that was on a Friday. And by Sunday, they finally got it sorted out. But yeah. The price of the Akutar dropped all the way down to 1E. Mm. So it went from basically 3E to 1E at that time. 1E was around $3,000.
Right,
so
right.
That was a huge drop.
Huge.
And you know, he was apologizing everywhere. But it was just like someone who has executed 10 NFT drops. You know what I mean? Does their own drop, you know, somebody on their team drops the ball. Of course, they have to take, you know, the fall for it. But it's just like, you know, like there's because always was, something.
Yeah, with open source. Yeah, there's always something in there. There's always a little some, especially on your first thing, you can't predict. But it's funny that happened. Like, if you're like, we made some shit coins. A friend of mine made a shit coin and I had to like help mod his Telegram. And it, like, he made one, and then there was like a series, and the third one was like an airdrop to everyone. It was free, and that was the one that got fucked up. That was the one that was like the free one that everyone started buying up and putting all their money in, was the one that broke after the first two successful launches that kind of just flopped. And it's always something weird when you start making your own smart contracts or, you know, forking stuff.
Yeah, y'all getting in some real deep DeFi activity over there. But I feel it. That's how you gotta, you know, level up and really have your understanding of what's going on. Like them having to call a hacker is crazy. Like, you know, that's a part of the scenario and the situation. Like, if you get compromised, that's all you can do, and it's just,
well,
like,
they have to call the hacker basically that told them. Right. That there was an exploit.
Right. Like, this is what's the hole in your system is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Well,
crypto won't happen again. That's for sure.
Right.
That shit will never happen for his next drop. It's not happening again.
He's learned.
Crypto Bay J, I want to thank you for coming on the pod. I love to have you back. I love to have you back when Mike is on. I love to have you when we come and do the studio podcast, which is coming soon. Get a black women's perspective on the NFT game, on the crypto space. You know what you're talking about. You know, we would love to have you back.
I would love to be back. Thank you for having me, guys. And I'm excited to hear what you guys have coming up. It sounds like y'all are upgrading your game with these podcast moves. Yep. So I'm excited. Janelle, do y'all do Twitter Spaces?
Nah, we haven't done Twitter Spaces. We probably should do a Twitter Spaces. Should. We might do a Twitter Spaces this weekend.
You can co-host it. You can be our moderator. You can do
we'll figure out the Twitter Spaces for Crypto Bros. For Crypto Bay J, Chris Epps, I'm Jason Madison, and we'll see y'all next week. Peace.